Let's bring him in, our MLB insider, our good friend Seth Everett. Follow him on Twitter, at Seth_Everett. Seth, good morning. How are you?
He is broken. Don't worry.
I would imagine so. How are you, man?
Established. What's up, my friends?
Locked and loaded. We're dominating and excited to see the freak back in action with his 148 pitches.
Yeah, that's not going to be good for anybody. That'll turn out. You know, Bochy was in a rock and a hard place. He's made some weird decisions this week. And, you know, he obviously can't take Lincecum out, but 148 pitches on that arm, I'm going to predict disabled list by, what, end of July?
I know Mr. Brian Kenny was tweeting out the stats of Johan Santana after his long pitch effort.
And Lincecum threw, I think, 15 more pitches.
I believe that was correct, yes.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's part of the sport now because people worry about workloads, and Lincecum is a guy who's lived by workloads his entire career, but now he's going to be in this awkward situation where, you know, once you have a no-hitter, you can't pull a guy out of a no-hitter, so all bets are off, and then all of a sudden you have to react like this.
Seth Everett, our MLB insider, with us on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline here. Seth, you probably couldn't have asked for better timing for the Chicago Cubs to be able to trot Matt Garza out to the hill,
yeah,
have him do a great performance on national television. I mean, that was basically a billboard ad for trades, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there's like four teams that are very high on him. A lot of people thought that was his last start for the Cubs. That is supposed to be the Wednesday headline. What I'm hearing is that Garza, once tonight ends, once the games end tonight, there's kind of a moratorium on this stuff, and so you'll have Monday the Derby and all the, you know, rigmarole that goes with that with the press conference.
Woohoo! Derby!
Yeah. Well, and if the management of Fox Sports Radio is listening, fine, I will go, but I didn't want to. And then the All-Star game comes, and then Wednesday is this big travel day. And most teams' schedule, this is actually a product of interleague play, but most teams' schedules are off Thursday. A lot of people don't start until Friday. You should see a lot of trading action. Gallardo could get dealt. Bud Norris could get dealt, and Matt Garza could get dealt all by and our friend Michael Kadire could get dealt as well.
There you go. Another guy having a fantastic first half. He's going to participate in the Home Run Derby.
Oh, it's so important that he's in the Home Run Derby. I mean, I think this system with asking players to be captains is shameful. I mean, I haven't done that since eighth grade. I never got picked first. So it brings back really bad memories for me.
So you're just bitter about it.
It gives me another.
You're putting players to pick their peers. It's kind of childish, to be honest. It doesn't draw ratings. What I would do, this is how I would do the Home Run Derby. I would ask every player via email, silent ballot. As soon as you're named to the All-Star team, you get this email. Are you willing to participate in the Home Run Derby? If you click yes, then you're on that list. And then what they do is they take all the yeses, and they just say, who's the best statistically of those yeses? Pedro Alvarez shouldn't have to wait to get on the All-Star team. Guy had 23 home runs. He's from New York. He made a perfect case for the Home Run Derby, if there is ever something to do. And David Wright's only answer was because he grew up with Kadire and their friends.
Yeah, but to me, it's even easier than that. To me, it's where's the total home runs at the break ranker and go grab the top five guys.
No, but I give players the option to not participate in
that. That's okay, but I think what it should start is it should literally be the top five guys. You clearly have been hitting home runs all season long, so you should be in the Home Run Derby. It shouldn't be that hard.
Right, and Chris Davis is a guy who's a no-brainer, but it needed Robinson Cano to select Chris Davis.
Hey, you got to go through the formality.
Chris Davis.
But they've played against each other the last 2 years. I mean, come on. Since the All-Star game is just so easily done. I mean, there's no argument to any of this, right? Matt Moore had to wait for injuries with 12 wins? Come on.
Well, not only that, but Grant Balfour.
Right.
Jim Leland.
Who's perfect again.
He puts five relief pitchers on his MLB.com final vote, not including Balfour. And yet, Hisashi Iwakuma of your Seattle Mariners is an All-Star. So the Mariners send two because of Felix Hernandez, but the first-place Oakland A's only get one, and it's Bartolo Colon.
Are we going to get away, Seth, from this idea that every team has to have one player?
I actually like that part of it because there's, you know, 30 markets and there's, you know, 10-year-old kids that want to see their guy. I thought it was very bold that they have a Marlin representing the team, and it's not Giancarlo Stanton. I thought that was very interesting. The Astros get a guy. That's fine. That, to me, is irrelevant. What I would do is I would extend rosters. you know, if this game really counts, then you have to have more All-Stars. You can have more of a reserve so that it's not a big deal that somebody gets snubbed like that. But the other thing is this game shouldn't count. And to be honest with you, and I know where, what network we're on, the only reason why this game still counts is because Fox Television wants it that way. And I think that the future of this game, if you look back at the 10 games that have been played since home field advantage was at stake, this game's not even managed any differently.
But Seth, if we didn't have snubs, we would have nothing but 4 weeks of trade chatter. We got to have something in the middle to yell about.
Well, that's why baseball created
get excited
the
biogenesis.
About. Baseball gave you biogenesis. That's not enough.
No.
I
think
really.
We all assumed that was coming down the pipeline eventually.
This is my favorite radio show because I can't escape that crap.
No. We're not going to blow smoke up your skirt. Sorry. No, there's nothing exciting about that, Seth. Just got to be honest with you. There's nothing interesting about biogenesis.
Except for the
whatsoever.
Fact that fantasy teams everywhere will be decimated. So we're already being
Oakland,
asked.
Oakland, would, if they lose Cologne for 100 games, they're in trouble. Because their rotation depth, they could use one more starter as it is.
Right.
And if Cologne got pinched, that would be big.
I just don't. I don't know.
I'm just celebrating the return of Bartolo Colon. I mean, come on.
I don't want to get down this road. Seth, I brought up Seth Everts with us, our MLB insider on the Progressive Insurance Celebrity Hotline. Seth, I brought up Matt Garza. You've mentioned a couple of other names. Is there any team out there that may surprise people by either standing pat or being a buyer when perhaps it's thought they'll be a seller?
Well, the Phillies are that team. I mean, there's talk about Michael Young and even Papelbon to Detroit. I've heard that. Chase Utley's name has come up. Tampa made a run at Chase Utley. They have to decide to be a seller. They're in the midst of television negotiations, and if their upper management is telling them don't sell because we need to get a higher rate for their TV contract, that's 30 years of finances. So I kind of understand that strategy. I think the team that's very interesting, and from a buying standpoint, is Tampa. Tampa wants a hitter, and the name I heard all last week was Kendrys Morales. And then suddenly now there's a switch, and I think it happened on Thursday. Michael Kadire, if the Rockies are willing to trade Michael Kadire, you could get their number three pitching prospect overall. He's in AAA right now. This is a guy that was in the James Shields trade and the Zach Greinke trade. For Michael Kadire, that's a trade I would make because you know how bad the Rockies could use another starter. And that would be an interesting trade because it's not a sell. It's not a deal where you're trying to save a bunch of money. It's an addition by subtraction, which is something the Rockies rarely do.
Well, as you look at it, he brought up Garza a couple times to get the conversation started. The other side of town has been an absolute disaster. 37-54, the White Sox, they traded one part out of the bullpen to Boston. How deep are the cuts before this thing's over?
Well, Ken Williams is a guy who tries to make a big splash all the time. Remember the Roberto Hernandez trade and such like that. But I think at this stage of the game, he doesn't really have a lot of pieces. He's not willing to deal Paul Konerko. You know, there are about six teams that would give their right arm.
Well, what about Alex Rios, Seth? Could Rick Hahn see parting with him?
I've heard that, but to be honest with you, I've inquired a lot. I haven't heard as much on on the White Sox. Nearly as much as some of these other teams. I think the interesting thing about what the White Sox are trying to do is the White Sox think that they don't have to blow this thing up and that the nucleus is sound, which is couldn't be further from the truth.
Seth Everts, our MLB insider. Seth, we know you're going to be there in New York, and as you pointed it out, the way the week stacks up, the fact that a lot of teams don't get back at it until Friday, there's a lot of quiet discussions being had over adult beverages while these guys are in New York.
Well, I think the All-Star Game has become that. You know, the All-Star Game is like a mini winter meetings. And what happens is all these teams go there. There's so many events, so many social events. The All-Star Gala is tomorrow night. That is something that's good and fun. But the reality is a lot of deals get really started after the break. And those 2 days, this Wednesday and Thursday, I think things will happen. I think the interesting thing for it, Oliver Perez is another name I'm hearing. The Mariners are actively shopping him. I could see some of these deals getting made, and there's so many buyers. If you look at it, there's probably 20 to 23 teams that think they have a shot this summer. So there's so many more buyers than sellers. I think that's great for competitive balance.
Seth, we need a shot of you with Mr. Met and Instagram of you running the bases at the Major League, at the Fan Fest.
Can I tell my mascot story real quick, 30 seconds?
You got it.
My first All-Star game was 98 All-Star game at Coors Field in Denver. And I was told to interview an umpire for somebody. and they said second door on the left. It wasn't the second door on the left. It was the third door on the left. The second door on the left was every major league mascot sitting in a room with their head on the floor.
Talk about childhood
terrorizing,
trauma.
Exactly. If you'd had one of your daughters with you,
Mr. Met, Philly Fanatic, Mariner Moose, I saw all of them with the heads rolling on, and I saw these giant bodies with these tiny little human heads. It is an image I can never get out. I've been ruined for mascots forever.
There he is, Seth Everett, our MLB insider. Follow him on Twitter, @Seth_Everett. And make sure you are following him, because he will be there in New York. And as those rumblings start to come out about trades, he'll be talking about them on Twitter. So make sure you're following him. Seth, thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks, buddy.
Guys. I'll talk to you guys soon.